Hello there. Welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Today is September the 11th. We're obviously going to talk about what happened on this date 19 years ago. I think there's many, many lessons we can learn from what happened. You know, we certainly don't want to forget. We really don't want to forget. We're going to talk about that throughout the show. I might also touch on the Mass readings, in particular the Psalm and the first reading from today's Daily Mass, because I think there's a common theme that emerges with the readings and the significance of this day. I hope you're doing well. Today's a Friday, and I'm glad to be here with you. Before I start the program, I want to give a shout out to Michelle, who was kind enough to send in a donation and was asking about how my wife Eileen is doing, how I'm doing. Michelle, first of all, thank you. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your generosity. You've been very good to me, and your messages are very much appreciated, as well as are your donations. But I wanted to let you know that I am praying for you and for your situation with school. But I, to let you know and to let anybody else listening know, I was sharing with you for a while that my wife was struggling with some pretty serious, significant anxiety related to this COVID-19 pandemic. And let's face it, this is challenging. This is not an easy situation. And, you know, I would ask Eileen, do you mind if I talk about it on the air? She said, no, please do, because she wanted to help people. And that's always been my goal. That's why I always want to be as transparent as possible with my weaknesses, with my struggles, with my imperfections. And I got a lot of them because I don't want to lie to you. I want to tell you the truth and let you know that my relationship with Jesus Christ has changed my life. He has saved me. He has saved me in a way that, I mean, quite literally, he has saved me. And when I surrendered my life to him and really let him begin to drive, to take control, my life has changed incredibly for the better. That doesn't mean I don't have my weaknesses. I do. That doesn't mean I don't have my moments where I mess up and begin to worry or want to take control from him. That's who I am. I've been doing that for so many years. It's hard to break that habit. But he has given me such peace and such joy that I can't believe it. And he has also used me. So he's used such an imperfect knucklehead like me to really get the message out to more people than I would have ever thought possible. So it all comes down to me saying yes, to swallowing my pride, to doing things his way, which isn't always easy for me. And he's done. He's used me. And I pray that he continues to use me. So I'm incredibly grateful. But I like to be as honest with you as I can. And I know you appreciate that because I hear that all the time. I don't try to be somebody who I'm not, because that would be a lie. That wouldn't be fair to you. And my hope is that you see me or hear me and see how imperfect I am and see what the Lord has done through me, how he's brought me peace and enabled me to break free from the worry which consumed my life for so long. And realize that he can do that for you. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. And Eileen feels the same way. And that's why she wanted me to be open, so that you would pray for her and also that she would be able to help people. And, you know, throughout this whole process, what are we, in 6 months now? I mean, none of us really knew how long it would be, but I don't think I thought it would be 6 months. I thought that the virus would start to die out when the summer hit. And I really didn't give too much thought to it, because one of the things that I've learned to do is not look too far ahead. I mean, that's what Jesus said. Don't worry about tomorrow. That's why I got myself in trouble in the past. But I don't think any of us realized how long this would be ongoing. And I want to say we still don't have an end in sight, but things are better than they were, and I'm thankful for that. But Eileen clung to the Lord, and she tried to get closer to him. It was a conversion opportunity for her. And that's how she viewed it as. Similar to what I went through several years ago in a medical crisis, I really paid attention to Jesus for the first time in my life. He became real, and I needed him. He was all I had. And he came through in a big way. And really, that's what Eileen did. And that doesn't mean there weren't sleepless nights. I mean, there were nights where she was literally crying out to him. It was painful for me to watch. And I could only do so much. You know, it's like I tell you, I say it all the time. I can give you the reasons why you should turn your life over to Christ. I can tell you what he will do for you. I can tell you about him. We can open the Bible and read story after story of what he's done and what his father has done through the ages. But until you make the decision to surrender, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, until you do that with the help of the Holy Spirit, so you need the Holy Spirit to help you do that. And when you make the decision and make that commitment, then your life changes. So I can't do it for Eileen. I mean, we talked about it a lot. And she would even say, I know I shouldn't worry. I know I should trust, but I'm struggling. And I know that many of you might be in that position. But the good news is Eileen is really doing well. She's really, really doing well. She's getting out. She's doing things. You know, and we still are going to be responsible and cautious. We're not going to throw caution to the wind. God gave us the common sense to know to not play in traffic. You know, I mean, seriously, that's what we do. We're cautious, but we're able to go to Mass every day, which is fantastic. I'm so excited about that. And we're able to go shopping. But, of course, we take our precautions. We wear our masks. We do what we're supposed to do. We socially distance from others. But she's doing well. So Michelle, I thank you for asking about Eileen. And I thank any of you who were following this story for your prayers. And please keep praying for Eileen and myself and our daughters, Mary and Elizabeth. We can certainly use all the prayers we can get. Also, as Michelle was asking about my arm and saying that she was glad that it's healed, and I am so grateful for that as well. I mean, that poison ivy leading into cellulitis that I had, I've never been through anything like that, and I was scared. You know, for in these times, I wasn't all that excited about going to urgent care and my doctor's office multiple times, and the possibility of going to the emergency room, which I never had to do, thank God, but I did it when I had to, but it was nasty. And I didn't know how this thing was going to resolve itself. But through the Lord and his mercy, I'm better. I got the scars still, but my arm is not swollen. Everything's better. I was talking to, we had somebody trimming the bushes today, and I told the guy, I said, you know what? Unfortunately, we got somebody who does it very, very inexpensively. We don't have too many bushes, but I'm not about to do any yard work anymore after what happened to me. And Eileen will not let me do it, so we had to come up with some kind of an alternative. But I was telling him I'm deathly afraid of poison ivy now. I learned my lesson. But you know what Eileen learned, what I learned, and what I knew from before. I'm not especially pleased with this, but oftentimes when we cry out to the Lord for healing, no matter how fervently we cry out, no matter how desperate we are, no matter how many tears we shed, he often heals gradually in stages. That's just the way he operates. Sometimes, yes, he's going to do a miraculous healing all in one shot, but don't be discouraged if you're praying for healing and he doesn't seem to be coming through. What I would recommend you do is look for the little ways which he may be working in your life. You know, possibly the little healings. Are you getting a little bit better? Are you getting worse? Sometimes that's what happens. You have to get worse before you get better. But look for those changes. And you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand those changes and to recognize them. Because a lot of times we ignore things. You know, day to day, you don't notice these little or subtle changes that he's working in your life. But they're there, and the Holy Spirit can help you to recognize them. So, Michelle, thank you so much, and I want to thank anyone who's listening, who has been praying, who has sent in a donation to my work, because I really need it. You know, I hate to ask for it, but man, it's tough. It's tough with, I'm praying that speaking work starts to pick up, but it doesn't look like anybody's doing any speaking right now. Very, very little, but you know, I'm going to trust the Lord that he will provide. And I want to let you know how grateful I am that you are on the other side of this microphone. I don't see you. I don't necessarily know who you are unless you write to me. I see the numbers, but that's it. So thank you for listening. And anytime you want to write and let me know what you think of the show, let me know you're out there, please do so. I would love to hear from you, and I would encourage you to do so. So if you, even if you're not somebody who typically sends an email, just shoot me an email to gary@followingthetruth.com. Let me know what you think of the show. Let me know that you listen. Let's get to know one another. And I pray for you every day. I'd like to pray for you by name. So send me an email. I do view my emails. I do respond to them. I've learned that I have to respond quickly, though, because sometimes they do slip through the cracks. I'm working on another book project right now, and it's very consuming at times. And I write my daily email devotionals. I do all that myself. I'm a mom-and-pop operation here. I don't have a staff. I like doing things by myself. But I will answer your email. So if you want to shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com, just let me know you're out there so that we can get to know each other by name. I would think that would be great. That will be great. I would love it. So don't think you're bothering me. You're not bothering me. And I'm going to keep praying for you, and I'm going to keep thanking God for you, because doing this show and knowing that you're listening means the world to me. It really does. I love hanging out, talking about the Lord with you, because it really builds me up. Okay, so that's quite an introduction, but I just felt moved to say those few things today. Hey, look, do me a favor. Let's pray now. Let's turn to our Father in heaven, who is so good to us. He's given us another day. We are alive today, and we got a lot to pray about, to be thankful for. So please join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We praise you. We worship you. We acknowledge your greatness. Father, there is no problem too big for you. You are bigger than any problem that we can ever face. Also, Father, you love us so much that you willed our existence. You created us. You willed us into existence. You decided, you made a conscious decision that your universe was not complete without us. So you made the decision to create us. You shaped us. You formed us. You put us together. Placed us in our mother's womb, and we entered this earth, this life, totally due to your goodness. You wanted to share your happiness with us. Father, we thank you for that. We turn to you this day, September the 11th, and we ask you to have mercy on all of those, close to 3,000 individuals who lost their lives in the terrorist attack. The terrorist attacks, I should say, on this day 19 years ago. Please have mercy on them. Comfort their families, many of whom are still suffering from the effects of this event. Have mercy on all who were involved, including the perpetrators. And help us to learn something from this experience. Father, we pray for all of our needs, spiritual, material, whatever they may be. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, your Son, who entered our world to redeem us on the cross. We thank you for the gift, Father, of the Holy Spirit, and we pray for a special and brand new outpouring of the Spirit on us. We ask that your Spirit come alive in us today and inspire all of our thoughts and our words, our deeds. We pray that the Spirit will work in us to transform us into the image of Jesus, your Son. Father, I ask you, give me the words today. Open our minds to hear and be willing to act upon the message that comes across on this show. And we ask these things, Father, in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and our Lord and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for hanging out with me. I need to take a sip of my water. You know what I always tell you. Feel free to bring a snack, bring a beverage. Let's chill out. We're going to talk about God, His Son Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and how they want to be a part of our lives each day. I think that's so important to remember. You're not in this alone. He's with you, Father, Son, and Spirit, holy angels and saints. You got plenty of company. It's just you can't see them, and it gets challenging at times. I want to let you know that I am awaiting now. It's going to be interesting if it happens during the show. I never know how this works. If if a package is delivered, especially UPS, it comes later in the day when I'm recording this show sometimes. So I am expecting a shipment of books from Ave Maria Press, which is my publisher, one of my publishers, my current publisher, of my new book, Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. It'd be kind of cool and annoying at the same time if the doorbell happens to ring, but at least I have a story then for you. But the book is in the warehouse. They send me, they always send me some complimentary copies. They are supposedly on the way, and I think they're coming today. The reason I tell you this is now is the time to pre-order Let Go of Anger and Stress. I know a lot of times you don't want to pre-order books because you don't know how long it'll be. Technically, the release date is October the 2nd. From what I'm told, the book is in the warehouse. I know that for sure. It's just a matter of days, I think, before it gets into the Amazon distribution system and it's starting to be shipped. So possibly if you pre-ordered from Ave Maria, you may have already received your copy or you're getting it very soon. Let me know. Let me know if you've gotten the book. You know, send me an email at Gary@followingthetruth.com, post it on Facebook, because it's always cool to see when people get the book. So I recommend that if you want to make sure you get a copy, that it doesn't get sold out, please order it or, you know, pre-order it now because you're going to get it momentarily. You can do that just by going to followingthetruth.com, and there's a button there you can click on. It's going to shoot you right over to Amazon and allow you to pre-order the book. You can also order it from Ave Maria Press. I am sure it's available from Barnes & Noble as well, although I haven't checked. Anyway, I think you're going to like the book. We will talk more about it in the weeks to come. It's a book that is very much needed, Let Go of Anger and Stress. I mean, right now, do you check the news lately? Do you look at your social media feed? Oh, my goodness. People are angry and frustrated. You know, I make light of it. It's a serious problem. We need to start bringing some love into the world. We need to start loving one another. A lot of division. It's not good. Not good. It's not the way Jesus wanted it. He prayed for unity. We need to be united. Catholics and Catholics, Catholics and Protestants, Catholics and non-Christians, we got to work together. We got to work together because we all serve the same God. Right? We got to remember that. Christians and even our Jewish brothers and sisters, they worship our Heavenly Father. They just got a problem with Jesus. You know, I believe that what we need to do is find some common ground and bring some change into this world. The Christophers are an organization that I am very fond of, founded by Father James Keller many, many years ago. Tony Rossi is the communications director for the Christophers, a good friend. I used to have him on my radio show all the time. They do such great work, and their motto is, it is better to light a single candle than to curse the darkness. That motto was borrowed from it's an old Chinese proverb, but the word Christopher means light bearer in Greek, and it's a reminder for us all. We are called to bring the light of Christ into the world, you know, and now's the time to do it. People need to hear about Jesus. So, with that, I got off topic, But the world's a tricky place, so we do need to let go of anger and stress. And the way we're going to do it is to let the Holy Spirit work in us. We're not going to do it on our own. And then Jesus knew that. That's why he sent the Spirit. So, followingthetruth.com is the place to go to find out about how to pre-order the book. And also, if you have not gotten on the daily email distribution list to get my daily reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, please do so. You can do that at followingthetruth.com as well. No cost for that. While we're at it, don't forget the weekly Gary Zimak Show, which is now available. You can download that podcast now, and it's going to focus on this Sunday's Mass reading. So I hope you'll get that as well. Okay, I want to talk about 9/11. 19 years ago today, close to 3,000 people, actually on September the 10th, close to 3,000 people went to bed that night for the final time. They woke up the next day, September the 11th, 19 years ago today, and they went about their business. They went to work. They did their normal daily routine, fully expecting to return to their homes that night. You know, we do it every day. We go out in the car, run an errand, go to work, go to school, go to church. We expect that it's going to be business as usual, and that we will return home safely. We just have that expectation. But you know what? Jesus reminded us that we don't know the day or the hour. We don't know. We don't know when we are going to be called home. Those people, and again, close to 3,000 people that day, they did not expect to die that day. And there's a good chance that many of them may have not been prepared for their judgment. You know, there are times in the past when I look back and I think, oh, wow, if I had died suddenly, I would have had a lot of explaining to do because I was not prepared. And that's, and here's the lesson, I believe. The lesson for us, certainly we want to remember those people who died and pray for their souls because of the fact that many of them didn't expect to die. These were sudden deaths that they did not see coming. They could have been living in the state of mortal sin. It's possible. Who knows where they could have been? There were atheists. I mean, there were all kinds of people who did, people who knew the Lord, maybe walked away from him. So we pray that God will have mercy on their souls. And we do it with confidence because God is a God of mercy. And he wants to do everything, but he wants to give us every chance possible for us to live with him forever in heaven when our life on earth is over. But we want to pray to him and ask him to have mercy on all of those souls who perished that day. And it's not easy, but yeah, we need to pray for the terrorists. We need to pray for an end to terrorism, for the conversion of the hearts of these terrorists. It can happen. Look at the story of St. Paul. He was condoning putting Christians to death. He was capturing them. A notorious persecutor of Christians, and yet Jesus chose him as the instrument to spread the gospel to the Gentiles. So we need to pray for the terrorists as well. It's not easy, but you know what? It doesn't matter how we feel. That's what love is. Love's not good feelings. Love is a conscious decision. And Jesus is very clear on that. We need to pray for our enemies. So we need to pray for those who died. We also need to remember their families. It's been 19 years. And I know that many of these people, in fact, I know some people who may have not lost a loved one, but who were in New York City or the vicinity on that day, and they still haven't recovered. You don't forget something like this. So let's pray for them. Let's pray for comfort, as we did at the beginning of the show, for all those who were affected by this senseless and brutal act of terror. But the lesson for all of us is we don't know the day or the hour, so we don't want to waste our time. This day, September the 11th, 2020. I don't want to waste my time, the present time, which is all I have. Look, you're listening to this. You're alive. God has us alive right now. He's sustaining us. The past is gone. So I don't want to waste this present moment, which he has given me, obsessing about things that went on in the past, people who betrayed me, things that I did wrong, things I should have done differently. It's gone. If you can correct it today, if there's something you can do to live differently today, do it. Don't dwell on the past or worry about what might happen tomorrow. You know, it's quite possible that some of those people, when they went to bed on September the 10th, were worried about a meeting that might take place the following week in work. They might be worried about finances. They might be annoyed, frustrated with their coworkers. They might have been waiting on the results of medical tests, thinking, how am I going to cope if this diagnosis comes back? And look what happened the next day. Just like that, their life on earth was finished. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, don't worry about tomorrow. You can't control what's going to happen tomorrow. All you can do is focus on today. Now, that doesn't mean we don't plan for tomorrow. If we can plan today for tomorrow, then do it. Yeah, that's good. But let's not waste time. I remember, and I've shared it on the show, there was the last time I was in the church, before the church was shut down for the pandemic, I didn't know it was going to be the last time. And for several months, I was unable to go into to church and receive Jesus in Holy Communion. Had I known, I would have really savored the experience and really began to appreciate it. So how do I react now? Every time I receive him, I'm so grateful, and I tell him, Lord, thank you. Thank you for coming to me this way. I want to enjoy you because I don't know when we're going to do this again. So let's learn to appreciate the present moment and not dwell in the past or worry about the future. We got a Father in heaven who loves us. We have a Savior who is taking us by the hand and leading us through life. And we've got a Holy Spirit who's allowing us to not only think like Jesus, to, if we're willing, to be transformed into the image of Jesus. So things are good for us. Let's not blow it, okay? We're not going to be able to get to the readings because I'm looking at the clock, but I was really good talking to you today. I just wanted to share these things. I'm glad we have this kind of a relationship so that we could talk, you know? There are different Catholic ministries and Christian ministries. They all have different focuses, or foci, or whatever the word is. I don't even know what the word is. My focus is on helping people to know Christ and to understand that he wants to be a part of their daily lives and to be willing, to help them be willing to surrender their lives to him and let him give, and let him in return give you his peace. That's my goal. I'm an evangelist. I talk about Jesus. I tell you what he's done in my life, and I hope that you will come along and draw closer to him through my work. That's my goal. That's my purpose. And I'm so blessed that I'm allowed to do this and have so many opportunities to do so. Remember, I want to hear from you. Gary@followingthetruth.com. Just shoot me an email. Say, Gary, I like the show. I don't like it. I mean, you know, you can be kind if you want. I would appreciate that. But just let me know you're out there. Let me know your name, and I'd love to pray for you and get to know you, okay? I am going to be praying for you, even if you don't email me, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. God willing, I would love to be back with you here on Monday. If the Lord has us around, I'm going to be here, and I hope you'll be able to join me as well. Remember, for all the information about my website, about my work, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. You can also leave a donation there through PayPal, and that would help me to keep going in these difficult times. Followingthetruth.com. You are fantastic. Have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Remember, don't worry about the past or the future. Focus on the present. Talk to you next time.